Hey, welcome into Positive Light, where we're bringing a positive influence into this world and into yours. Hi, I'm Bob Miles, and today's subject is going to be on worship, and the importance of worship is huge. Worship matters today more than ever. We need to stay connected to God, and a great way to do that is by worship. Worship matters to God, worship matters to you. Often, we allow personal distractions to get in the way. Sometimes we go to church, but we don't worship. We sing songs, but we don't worship. We listen to sermons, but we don't worship. We serve in a ministry area, but we don't worship. All of these things are elements of worship, but they are not worship in and of themselves, which means that you can do all of them and yet have failed to truly worship God. Worship is a lifestyle. It's the gathering of believers to practice our beliefs in celebration of Him. Praise is the expression we give to the worship we live. Worship involves more than we realize. Worship involves surrender of our lives. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, out of Romans 12:1. Worship is putting our focus on Him. True worship is based on the desire to honor God. It requires a personal revelation of God as found in the Scriptures. Worship is not based on my likes or dislikes. It's not based on my personal preference or priorities. It's a focus on Him. Worship involves getting out of the way. We have to learn to remove our worries, our opinion, our questions, and ourselves, so we can worship with appropriate honor. It's letting go. Sometimes we get in the way of our own experience of genuine worship. So worship involves a personal sacrifice. Praise can be easier when times are good or we have had a big victory. It requires a sacrifice of our own feelings and fears so we can give Him the focus He deserves. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name, Hebrews 13:15. We must worship in the face of pain and loss. King David demonstrates what it means to worship in the face of loss and pain. His baby died. He prayed and prayed, but the baby died. I can imagine the pain that would come from the loss of a child. The loss of a loved one is too great to bear. So after the baby died, the Bible tells us, then David got up from the ground. After he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped, out of 2 Samuel 12:20. It is so important that in times of pain and loss, we move toward God rather than away from Him. David showed us that we have to say, I feel so much pain, I'm in agony, but I'm going to go toward God because I need Him more now than ever. Worship is celebrating who God is and what He has done. Out of Psalm 101-5, it states this, shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And this is what Billy Graham said on worship. Worship, in the truest sense, takes place only when our full attention is on God, on His glory, power, majesty, love, and compassion. Psalms 95:6, come let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. We should come together to worship God. God is worthy of our praise, and we honor Him when we worship together. In the Old Testament, God's people were commanded to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, out of Psalm 104 again. The Bible tells us to come together to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, out of Colossians 3:16. If you have visited various churches, you know they differ in the way they worship. Some are very informal in their services, others are very formal, and most are somewhere in between. Some churches stress the place of sacraments, such as the Lord's Supper, more than others. Is only one style of worship right and all others wrong? Well, of course not. One style may be more comfortable for you than another. The important thing is that it should turn your heart toward God in worship and praise. Don't, however, look down on those who prefer other styles of worship. God is more concerned about the attitude of your heart than the way we express it. Worship isn't supposed to be entertainment. We don't come together to enjoy ourselves, but to worship God. Jesus said, "The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks," out of John 4:23. Think of that. God seeks those who truly worship Him. We need to worship that pleases God. And from Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and I highly suggest you read it if you haven't, it states this: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." Out of Mark 12:30. God wants all of you. God doesn't want a part of your life. He asks for all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. God is not interested in half-hearted commitment, partial obedience, and the leftovers of your time and money. He desires your full devotion, not little bits of your life. A Samaritan woman once tried to debate Jesus on the best time, place, and style for worship. Jesus replied that these external issues are irrelevant. Where you worship is not as important as why you worship and how much of yourself you offer to God when you worship. There is a right way and a wrong way to worship. The Bible says, "Let us be grateful and worship God in a way that will please Him." The kind of worship that pleases God has four characteristics. God is pleased when our worship is accurate. People often say, "I like to thank God as of," and then they share their idea of the kind of God they would like to worship. But we cannot just create our own comfortable or politically correct image of God and worship it. That is idolatry. Worship must be based on the truth of Scripture, not our opinions about God. Jesus told the Samaritan woman, "True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." To worship in truth means to worship God as He is truly revealed in the Bible. God is pleased when our worship is authentic. When Jesus said you must worship in spirit, He wasn't referring to the Holy Spirit, but to your spirit, made in God's image. You are a spirit that resides in a body, and God designed your spirit to communicate with Him. Worship is your spirit responding to God's spirit. When Jesus said, "Love God with all your heart and soul," He meant that worship must be genuine and heartfelt. It is not just a matter of saying the right words. You must mean what you say. Heartless praise is not praise at all. It is worthless and an insult to God. When we worship, God looks past our words to see the attitude of our hearts. The Bible says, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Since worship involves delighting in God, it engages your emotions. God gave you emotions so you could worship Him with deep feelings, but those emotions must be genuine, not faked. God hates hypocrisy. He doesn't want showmanship in worship. He wants your honest, real love. We can worship God imperfectly, but we cannot worship Him insincerely. God-pleasing worship is deeply emotional and deeply doctrinal. We use both our hearts and our heads. Of course, sincerity alone is not enough. You can be sincerely wrong, and that's why both spirit and truth are required. Worship must be accurate and authentic. God-pleasing worship is deeply emotional and deeply doctrinal. We use both our hearts and our heads. Today, many equate being emotionally moved by music as being moved by the Spirit, but these are not the same. Real worship happens when your spirit responds to God, not to some musical tone. In fact, some sentimental, introspective songs hinder worship because they take the spotlight off God and focus on our feelings. Your biggest distraction in worship is yourself, your interest, and your worries over what others think about you. Christians often differ on the most appropriate or authentic way to express praise to God, but these arguments usually just reflect personality and background differences. Many forms of praise are mentioned in the Bible, among them confessing, singing, shouting, standing in honor, kneeling, dancing, making a joyful noise, testifying, playing musical instruments, and raising hands. The best style of worship is the one that most authentically represents your love for God, based on the background and personality God gave you. The best style of worship is the one that most authentically represents your love for God. So, have an idea. Try praising God without using the words of praise, hallelujah, thanks, or amen. Instead of saying, "We just want to praise you," use fresh words like admire, respect, value, revere, honor, and appreciate. Also, be specific. If someone approached you and repeated, "I praise you," 10 times, you would probably think, "For what?" You would rather receive 2 specific compliments than 20 vague generalities, and so would God. Another idea is to make a list of the different names of God and focus on them. God's names are not arbitrary. They tell us about different aspects of his character. In the Old Testament, God gradually revealed himself to Israel by introducing new names for himself, and he commands us to praise his name. God wants our corporate worship gatherings to be thoughtful too. Paul devotes an entire chapter to this in 1 Corinthians 14 and concludes, "Everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way." God is pleased when our worship is practical. The Bible says, "Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." This is your spiritual act of worship. Why does God want your body? Why doesn't he say, "Offer your spirit"? Because without your body, you can't do anything on the planet. In eternity, you will receive a new, improved, upgraded body. But while you're here on earth, God says, "Give me what you got." He's just being practical about worship. You have heard people say, "I can't make it to the morning meeting tonight, but I'll be with you in spirit." Do you know what that means? Nothing. It's worthless. As long as you're on earth, your spirit can only be where your body is. If your body isn't there, neither are you. In worship, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Now, we usually associate the concept of sacrifice with something dead. But God wants you to be a living sacrifice. He wants you to live for him. However, the problem with a living sacrifice is that it can crawl off the altar. And we often do that. We sing "Onward, Christian Soldier" on Sunday, then we go AWOL on Monday. In the Old Testament, God took pleasure in many sacrifices of worship because they foretold of Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross. Now, God is pleased with different sacrifices of worship: thanksgiving, praise, humility, repentance, offering of money, prayer, serving others, and sharing with those in need. Real worship costs. David knew this and said, "I will not offer to the Lord my God sacrifices that have cost me nothing." One thing worship costs us is our self-centeredness. You cannot exalt God and yourself at the same time. You don't worship to be seen by others or to please yourself. You deliberately shift the focus off yourself. Real worship is rooted in the Word. When Jesus said, "Love God with all your strength," he pointed out that worship takes effort and energy. It is not always convenient or comfortable, and sometimes worship is the sheer act of the will, a willing sacrifice. Passive worship is an oxymoron. When you praise God, even when you don't feel like it, when you get out of bed and worship when you're tired, or when you help others when you are worn out, you are offering a sacrifice of worship to God that pleases God. Matt Redman, a worship leader in England, tells how his pastor taught his church the real meaning of worship, to show that worship is more than music. He banned all singing in their services for a period of time while they learned to worship in other ways. By the end of that time, Matt had written the classic song, "Heart of Worship." I'll bring you more than a song, because the song itself is not what you've required. Your search much deeper within than the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. So next, I'd like to play you a song. It's called Just Worship by the Tommy Walker Ministries. And you can catch him on YouTube, subscribe to his channel. Also, he's at TommyWalkerMinistries.org. Great song. And here's the song again, Just Worship.
Just worship. Lord, I worship you. Just wanna honor you. How my heart longs for you. Just worship. That's all I wanna do, is worship. Give my heart and soul to you, to be lost in your presence and found in your love. Letting all things fade away, I set my eyes on things above and just worship. I bow before your throne and worship. How my heart longs for you alone, to be lost in your presence and found in your love. Letting all things fade away, set my eyes on things above and just worship. Lord, I worship you. That's all I wanna do, Lord. Just want to honor you. How my heart longs for you. Just worship. When I don't know what to do, I'll just worship. Casting all my cares on you, to be lost in your presence and found in your love. Letting all things fade away, I set my eyes on things above. Set my eyes on things above and just worship. Oh, it's all I wanna do, Lord.
Lord, I worship.
Oh, I throw up my hands, I give you my heart. Oh, I let it all go.
Just want to honor,
honor you. Oh, more than anything else, Lord. Oh, that's all I wanna do, Lord.
just bow before your throne. Let everything go. Oh, I love to worship. How I love to worship you. Let's sing this little line like this together. All I wanna do, all I wanna do is worship you. All I wanna do, all I wanna do is worship you. Sing it with me now. All I wanna do, all I wanna do is worship you. Casting all our cares on you, Lord.
All I want is worship.
You're so worthy. Cause all I want to do, all I want to do is worship you.
There's another great song by Tommy Walker. The best part of that song that I like, it says, "Give my heart and soul to you. To be lost in your presence and found in your love, letting all things fade away. Set my eyes on things fade away and just worship." Awesome. So do we realize that we can win battles with worship? That's right. We can win battles with worship. And the story that comes to mind regarding winning battles with worship is Jericho. So I'm not sure how many times I've read the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. It's a perennial preschool ministry favorite. Grab the cardboard blocks and a few kazoos, build a wall, and act out the story. You get to talk about how awesome God is, plus knock down a wall and spend a few minutes in little boy heaven. It's a win-win. But this time I saw something different in the story. Israel won the Battle of Jericho through worship. Let's set the scene. The nation of Israel is at the end of their Exodus wanderings. The generation that fled Egypt has perished in the wilderness. Now their children and grandchildren are ready to take the land and inherit the promise that was given to their fathers. God himself threw open the door to the promised land, holding back the floodwaters of the Jordan River and leading people across on dry land. They're ready. Now one thing stands in their way, Jericho. When God gave Joshua his marching orders, the Lord leaves no doubt that he is the one giving them the city. Jericho and all the land belong to the Lord. He and he alone has the power to grant them to his people. So God instructs to Joshua, don't have anything to do with besieging the city. God tells them that they will take the city through worship. God tells Joshua to gather the people and march around the city once each day for 7 days. The priests are to lead the procession with the ark, a visible symbol of the Lord's presence with them. 7 priests with 7 trumpets are to go before the ark. On the 7th day, they are to march around the city 7 times. Then the priests will blow the trumpets, the people will shout, and the walls will fall. That's not warfare, that's worship. And it's not the only time in Scripture that we see it. 2 Chronicles 20 tells how King Jehoshaphat led the people of Judah into battle with singing. As the people worshipped, their enemies fought amongst themselves and destroyed one another. And Acts 16 records how Paul and Silas were thrown into jail in Philippi. The night Paul and Silas sat with their feet in the stocks and sang songs of praise, God sent an earthquake. The prison doors were flung open and the jailer got saved. When we face our Jerichos, our place of battle, sometimes we're tempted to fight the war with the world's weapons. We resort to manipulation, gossip, and deceit. We grasp for power and jostle for position, prepared to fight for our seat at the table. But these aren't the weapons God gives us for our battle. We have an enemy, Satan, and the spiritual forces of darkness that stand in opposition to God and his people. We can't win the battle by fighting on his terms. God gives us different set of weapons to use: prayer, testimony, and worship. The word of God and the precious blood of Jesus, by which we have already won the victory. We can't win our battles the world's way. We win through following God's plan. We win by living a radical worship. What are the challenges before you this week? What battles are you facing? Know that our God has already given you victory, a victory won not in battle, but on the cross. Stand in obedience on the truth of His Word. Bathe your battle in prayer. Listen to stories of victory and move forward in worship. Then look to see what God will do, for He is faithful. And here are some great quotes on worship. The whole person with all his senses, with both mind and body, need to be involved in genuine worship, added with Jerry Kearns. The most valuable thing the Psalms do for me is to express the same delight in God which made David dance, out of C.S. Lewis. Worship is, it is well with my soul experience, Robert Weber. Without worship, we go about miserable, A.W. Tozer. A glimpse of God will save you. To gaze at Him will sanctify you, Manly Beasley. We only learn to behave ourselves in the presence of God, again by C.S. Lewis. If we are going to worship in spirit, we must develop a spirit of worship, Michael Catt. Worship has been misunderstood as something that arises from a feeling which comes upon you, but it is vital that we understand that it is rooted in a conscious act of the will, to serve and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, Graham Kendrick. Worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worshipped, Jack Hayford. Worship must be Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-led, a response to the Father about intimacy and service, and always led to transformation, Tim Hughes. As John 14:23 says, it's time as worshipers of God to give Him all we have, for when He is exalted, everything about me is decreased. So many times we stand in the way of really stepping into the secret place of worship with God. Just abandon tradition and the expected ways of praise and worship, and get lost in the Holy of Holies with the sole intention of blessing the Father's heart. Jessica Springer. When I worship, I would rather my heart be without words than my words be without heart. Lamar Boscoven. So in my prayer with God, I ask God, what about worship? What's important for you? What are you wanting to tell me about worship? And here's what He stated. He says, worship has to be heartfelt. I don't hear it if it's not. Worship is just part of our relationship, and you know how important this is to me. I sent my son down to die for it. You need to have heartfelt worship daily with me. It will put you in the right perspective when dealing with this world, especially today. And as always, my prayer is that God blesses the journey that you're on with Him, and that you embrace the path that He's put you on. So next week's episode is going to be on how we know the Bible is true. And it should be a great subject to share on. Make sure you check me out. Connect with me at positivelightpodcast@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Again, my thanks and hats off to the medical staff who helped me out a lot, Mark and Chris. They're PG rated. Have a great week. Worship God daily. Thank you for tuning in.